very first episode of Mythbusters. I'm excited about this one. I think there's a lot of things we need to clear out in the air. There's a lot of things, especially after COVID-19, you know, it bred a lot of myths, false news. Like, there were so many things. Kolani, take me through one.
Yeah, quite a lot, right? So we'll add this story into the whole mix of all these myths and fake news and everything that is just making rounds. Mm-hmm. So when you look at South African born with albinism, are amongst the most marginalized and vulnerable of the country's citizens, right?
Yeah.
Yet very little attention is given to protecting them from human rights violation, from our threats, you know, and also violent crime, right? So I want us to think about children with albinism,
yeah,
and who often are kidnapped and murdered as part of a barbaric practice, right? So I think it was last year during Child Protection Week, I think from May 29, like May to the 5th of June, there was this plight of children with albinism came up because parents of these children are actually afraid to send the kids to school because of the kids who might be kidnapped or murdered, right? So this is a serious thing. Like, this is a serious, serious issue. And one of the things that we want to do today is actually bust the myth around albinism, right? So before we actually have a conversation with our guest, just to remind you that we've got Odirile from the Albinism Association of South Africa, right? Because we need to understand their lived experience.
Of course,
yeah,
we do.
We really need to understand the lived experience. But before we get to it, right, what are some of the myths that you've thought of, Pretty?
I think, like I said this morning, it's clear cut. I've heard a lot of things. You know, I've also heard that people that have albinism can't be in the sun. Just can't. Like, you need to walk around in the dark, if I'm making sense. You need to walk in the dark. So are you saying that those people don't have a life?
Yeah, I know. It's quite a lot of them. But I'm glad that we've got Odirile, right?
Yes.
Who'll actually, you know, try and assist us here, right?
Yes, he is going to assist us. We've got Odirile Maphake, Albinism Society. We're busting out the myths of albinism. And there's quite a few that we have mentioned. And maybe you have one of your own as well. And we'd love to hear from you on 063-300-8847. Odirile, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to Area Code.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And that is what do I say to
good
your
morning
listeners.
To the listeners. I like that. What a way to kickstart this conversation. Odirile, we want to know about, share with us some of the challenges growing up as a person with albinism.
Start somewhere. Start from the beginning. I think I was one of those fortunate I've got an issue with statements of people living with albinism or, I don't know, however people would like to put it. Mm-hmm. But apparently the most correct one is people living with albinism. I was very fortunate. It was a bit of a huge taboo one. And I'm not going to lie to you. I experienced it from my family because nobody within my family came at that point. But was like, you know, like at that time, you were... my name is Odirile. That was posted to my father. Like, hey, Gabo, Odirile. Understand? So for now, that's where it all started. But my father flipped over and said, you know what, my son, you might look different, but, and I still exactly remember, you might look different, people will treat you different, but never ever forget that night go and you're as normal as possible. Mm-hmm. That's when I at that time I think it made a bit of sense of and then now you have to go. My father refused to take me to a so-called special school. I went to mainstream school. I literally had to compete with the so-called, you know, and you can imagine from that on a daily basis I still remember one of the, I still remember the teacher's name, but I'm not going to mention that. Short-sighted. This guy, I still remember, he came and pulled me by my ear, because I would be close, like, in front. Came pulling by my ear. And when I think the best thing to do, santo to khalo tlatya skolo mo tshegare o santo a tshenda skolo botsiho o tlo khona bona go chopote. Imagine that, I think I was like 8, 9 receiving such, and this is what exactly my father, this is how my father reacted to that situation. He actually went and punched him. I went home and I told papa I'm about to go skolo so so so. Actually went home and, you know, the only way that I know how to fix this is to go punch him. Period. And unfortunately, when you think about it right now, it's not a solution. It's so not a solution. But the sad part is as well, there is so much. There will be so much experiences. There would be so much cases. I can tell you this much. They tend to affect emotionally, but there's a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those. I'm talking to you now. I didn't even prep anything. I just felt like this is something that I would like
I think, you know, something that was mentioned there that really, really stuck to my heart was the fact that when he went to school, people started saying things like, you can't walk during the day, which is one of the myths that I was talking about.
Yeah.
Now it's almost like they need to have their own little night school, which is not fair because, I mean, human, at the end of the day, there's absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah, no, it's quite sad because I'm thinking here, and you know, when you look at kids that have a pigmentation that we're used to, and you think about the bullying in school, what they go through, you know, the emotional trauma.
I'm sure it is multiplied.
Now, exactly, that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about this. Imagine the trauma, you know, and psychological trauma, and it's just too much, you know. And I was hoping that we'll be able to actually touch on certain myths, rather dispelling some of the myths before we got disconnected with Odi, right? Odi Rile, Umapage, right? Because it's quite important that we begin to talk about some of these myths. To be honest with you, now there's the first one. I want to share this one with you, Preeti, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I just feel it's just too much, right? And here is the myth, right? They say that albinism is a result of incest, or the mother slept with a white man, or the devil replaced the child with an albino. Like, how do we?
I don't know how this mind shift is going to happen, but I think that's why we also decided that Mythbusters was something that was quite important. There are some things that just don't make sense. There are things that people just wake up one morning with, and I do want to say it almost sounds like malicious intent, because that's exactly what it is. You cannot fault someone who didn't create themselves. I think had I had an opportunity to recreate myself, good God, I would look like the heavens, you know?
True.
But I
mean,
we didn't create ourselves. And in this point, there's absolutely nothing wrong with albinism. And I hate that. I absolutely hate the fact that there are myths around that.
One thing that really frustrates me the most is the ritual killings. It's quite prevalent. And it's sad because I once read a case, and one of the guys that the alleged murderer, you know, he explained and gave a vivid picture of what this guy did, right? So I was thinking to myself, should I share this with you, right, or not? But let me just give you a glimpse, right? So he was delivering a testimony in the high court, and he said that when they saw this child, right, they actually forced the child to drink beer. That's the first thing that they did, literally, right? Before kidnapping, after drinking beer, they also make sure that the child also drank e brake fluid.
No, man.
I promise you. And they also gave the child some cannabis before killing her. And I was sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, what kind of a human being is this? Right. So we do have someone that we could talk to, right, that we're actually going to talk to, right? Abraham, who is a traditional healer from the Traditional Healers Organization.
Now, we are joined by Abraham, who's going to iron out these myths for us, who is from the Traditional Health Organization. Abraham, thank you so much for joining us and making time for us this morning.
Yes, sir. Oh, madam.
Abraham, are you okay?
But you've got there.
No, I just imagine. Meeting and then we're going to
be. Thank you so much, Abraham. Thank you so much. It really, really means so much for us for you to take this call. Now, we're speaking about, obviously, there's a lot of differences when it comes to the albinism industry sector, when it comes to the cultural, the spiritual myths that are happening around albinism, bringing luck and wealth as well. What are your views about that?
Okay. It's just not in my views, but let's start to say, what are the views of the organization? Remember, I'm representing an organization. So, as an organization, and again, that's the first root cause that we need to deal with it. If you remember correctly, that as Africans, isn't it to stand and at the end, these misconceptions as it's sacred or like abantu abaphila albinism. Because the parents all those things ama means abekhona because of abantu abadala gathi bebafihla.
That makes so much sense. Yeah, we are busting these
now,
myths.
Literally, now we're doing that. Hey?
Okay, I think that makes so much sense, and thank you for highlighting that. And there's been albino murdered. There's been an albino murdered in South Africa, and we know that it suggests that there's a black market for buying body parts. Mm. And has the traditional association voiced out this concern? Have you cleared out the air when it comes to the traditional healers using body parts? Because it is a thing that has been said countless number of times as well. Have you voiced out your concerns when it comes to this? And how can you maybe put it in better perspective for everyone to further understand?
We did a campaign, in actual fact, in 2015. After the gruesome murder of Uthandazile Mpunzi, who was from a little girl from Emangozi in Gwamhlabelingana district, whereby we were bulawa and ama body parts were mutilated. There was a kingpin in Mfundis. We need to note this. There was a pastor involved. This pastor was from Eswatini. You need to get the albino ukuthi ibandla lakho likhona ukuthuthuka. So only the traditional leaders. Also the Christian fraternity needs to come on board and say, Nana Chavant Labasabulad. Okay. We had a joint campaign with CRL Rights Commission, which is the Commission for Religious and Linguistic Communities. It's a chapter 9 institution in South Africa. And Sahlanganela Nobukhosi the late King Uzwelithini. He was part of it. Gokuthi sasikhuluma ngokuthi abelaphi bendabuko abasebenzisi izicu zabantu ukwelapha. And after that, the organization took an initiative to say, let us do a study. Gokuthi, why is this thing happening? Why is it associated ne traditional health practice? Sabukela into kuze black market gokuthi isukela kuphi. And we found out gokuthi imali ekhiqizwayo with the black market iningi kakhulu, which is why abantu laba thina sibabiza ukuthi abelaphi imbumbulu, because yiyo abasebenzisa ngaphakathi kwabantu. Bagcina benza lokhu because mawuthi uyabheka by then 2015 i-body part ye-female person living with albinism they were 90,000. A male organ was worth about 120,000. So you understand abuthi abotsotsi bagcina babona lokhu kuyi market abangapenetrator kiyo ukuthi bayakhona ukwenza lobubi lobabenza kubantu. And then we then said thina si traditional loss organization ukuthi asihlanganelani nalento leni ngoba siya understand ukuthi kugcilazwa kwabantu, kugcilazwa kwamalungelo wabo, and abantu abangama albinos abantu abafana naye nawe. So thina sibabona bangabantu bo sayazibazi sibethiwa negama sathi thina sikambe yathi bendabuko so babiza ukuthi abantu bofuzo. And the late King uZwelithini kaDinizulu then endorsed the name kokuthi ababizwe vele ukuthi abantu bofuzo.
Wow. And must, when we're talking about abantu bofuzo, what does it translate to? What does it come from? Where does it stem from? If we are going to call them abantu bofuzo, I don't know. Maybe I'm misunderstanding because my direct translation of what you are saying in Zulu would be ufuzo lasekhaya oludlulelayo, you know, it's a constant thing. So I don't know if I'm getting you right, Yini, when you are saying
abantu bofuzo. The background of the name kukuthi abantu bofuzo comes from into ukuthi the In order for one to become an albino, it comes from the generation, ama genetics in a family. Kenze ukuthi ukhokho banibani, because wayefihliwe naye. Ugcina ningazi ukuthi vele kwakuwumuntu webala leli limhlophe. And then now yenze ukuthi ifikele kwesizukulwana sesi-3. Hence we said, akumelanga ukuthi asizameni ukugeza igama lelilabo elibi ukuthi yizishawa. Sithi abantu bofuzo ngoba le nto le it runs within the family. It's something le genetic.
Yeah, no. Abraham, no, I'm glad that the organization did a study, you know, on the black market, trying to understand exactly what is happening, you know. And one thing that I want to ask you, Baba, is that did you share your findings, right, with the police? Because such information could literally try and assist the police in order to try and curb this increase of murders that are going on around when it comes to the albino community.
Yes, we did share the study with the CRL Rights Commission, because we did the study in conjunction with the CRL Rights Commission. So the CRL Rights Commission shared the study with Ilazanana, the Yamapoisa, and the Parliament, because we needed to give up a report. It was in line with the religious commercialization report that was released by the CRL Rights Commission. What we did there was, as an organization, we had to support the delivery of this study, because the CRL was given a mandate to go to Ibuye Izolungisa again, lama gaps lakhona sikhona ukuba ne program ezorola out into 9 provinces, because by that time we only targeted only 3 provinces, of which ama provinces akade are impacted kakhulu. You look at KwaZulu Natal, that was where Thandazile Mponzi was from and was murdered at night. And then you look at Mpumalanga, there was a case Yaka Shabani, who was also murdered late 2015, a wheat bank. And then you look into Limpopo. Limpopo, kunabantwana ababulawa, 3 of them. One was from Tzaneen and the 2 were from Giyani. So let us look at these hotspots, 7 years on as a pilot project. And unfortunately, ngokuthi imali ziyaphela, nathi saphela imali, we could not ukuthi siqhubeke ne program leyo, igcine isinyelele ne government yethu failed us. Hence namanje silokhu sisho ukuthi our government needs to come to party, ukuthi even ama witchcraft related cases, they need to come to party, because izinyanga nazo ziyagcilazwa. Abanye abantu bagcina ba wrongfully attacked because of ama accusations lafana nalawo.
So do you believe that there isn't enough education done, right, to actually empower abantu? Because I believe that once you are empowered with information, then you know exactly that you'll be able to take the right decision based on the information that you received. Do you think that is there any, you know, enough education, enough initiatives that are driving the educational part to try and empower abantu about the myth myths around the albinism. Do you think the government is actually doing enough?
The government is not enough. Remember, we have programs. Let's see the corner. But if the government does not want to support the program, then it means the government cares so little about initiatives like corner in the education part. Let's say in the institutions. So our government, let's fail because I phone go to kubuyiswe lobuntu. Up until it damage is here in the gila, then they come and say, gube, sa. Unfortunately, we are living in a government lengenandaba kangako ngezinto. You even look at issues of gender-based violence currently. If kwakuthwe from the start, makuqala sibone ukuthi siba nesimo esiphethekayo, the government then said, let us give out a funding for this thing ukuthi ikhona ilungiswe manje. Because you look at gender-based violence in a Western way, but what is it that we are doing? Singayibukingi isinto sethu ukuthi thina as ama-Africa, in gender-based violence. When do we start to analyze into as Africans and then we deal with them in an African way? But the government, if in our visit to the party, to acknowledge the fact that even though we are living in a westernized system, but we are still Africans, then it means that we are not going to be able to do it. In Jongo Zay, Tunjenga Bantaban Pishol, Zosala Zikundazel, because of Kunalo Muntu Law or Superior, or Sally Obugela, the Western systems, as if you are Angono, as if the Western systems is or as Konogleka e development Gakul. And if you develop a system, Lezo Ezoba for Abantu Nabantu, then it means ukuthi sizokhona ukuthi sihile the historic ebuhlungu esinayo, le history esinayo ebuhlungu yokuthi thina singaba. Remember ukuthi before kokuthi umuntu acindezelwe, you need to strip away ubuntu bakhe. And stripping away ubuntu bakhe means that ukuthi everything le ayiyo uyayenza ukuthi ibe yincane, ayibone it's a demonic practice. Which is why today, even abantu akati bakhona, then bama albino kati befilwa. It's because of it. That is stripping away ubuntu bethu. If besina idignity yethu sikhona ukuthi sichubeke sizenzele izinto ngobuntu bethu, abantu laba ngabe singabafihli. Even today ngabe umuntu angafihli umntwana wakhe oyisidalo endlini.
You know, Abraham, you said something that was very, very interesting. You spoke about the different people, the cases of different people that you were using and working on them. And the one thing that stood out for me was the fact that these people are from each and every single part of the country.
True.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's one specific area that needs to be targeted, or it's one specific place or a group of people. It just simply means that it's an unfortunate thing as South Africans that we are living under these myths. And I must commend you for that, and all the hard work that you have put in together with your team as well to make sure that you work on these cases and understand. I mean, even getting the prices and looking at the market as well. And I think you raised something very important as well. I also question myself on the same note as well when it comes to these people. Where do the myths come from in actual fact of the purchase of body parts? Like, when did we get to a point where body parts can make it better? Because I also know that I'm a rhinos.
Oh, rhino horns.
Yes, rhino horns. So where does this all stem from? Where's the root of evil in all of this?
Yes, each and every sector, even now, what we call ama charlatans. Nabantu abazama ukwenzisa izinto. Now, unfortunately for the traditional health practice, abotsotsi baningi. And utsotsi would do anything ukuthi athuthukise ikhono lakhe abonakale angcono kunalaba nabanye. That's the kind of thing let's begin nayo thina as the sector. Angokuthi labotsotsi uzochamuka athi mina ngikhona ukwenza ama instant riches. If you look deeper into ukuthi ukhona ukwenza ama instant riches, wena why ungekho rich? It's a question, the first question umuntu amele azibuze yona. Now, into lezi zichamukela lapho ukuthi labotsotsi bakhona within the sector and ba own the sector because already ba pose as sector members.
Yeah, I know you've really said a mouthful there, you know, just bringing a whole new perspective, a whole new
and
view.
My mind has been broadened.
Yeah, literally, because Abraham, you're talking, you're speaking, and I'm literally listening and absorbing everything that you are actually saying, you know. So this is a very sensitive issue, right? Because now I see times have changed. Because I remember you touched on back then, albino, people who were born with albinism, they were hidden. You understand? Mm. So now times have changed, and now things are done differently, right? Based on your observation, you know, what are these new changes that you see? Do you perhaps maybe see you know, people who are born with albinism, they are more free now, they're not as hidden as they used to be? What sort of difference have you noticed?
We have noted in the past 5 years or so, urban albinism, they tend to be free within the traditional healers, because they know for a fact that if a traditional healer is next door, it's either by a member of THO or by a member affiliated THO. Koguti uzoba safe, ukuthi lo muntu lo angeke aze amgcilaze, angeke aze ambulale, because ugijimise the instant treatments. So what we have created as an organization, ukuthi abantu siba create a safe space ukuthi bakhona ukuba around our people. Remember, traditional healing actually is a career, but it's a calling. And for a calling to manifest in someone, it means ukuthi it's in a sacred place, meaning that umuntu lo ongena kuye le calling kumele kube umuntu ohlambulukile. So ungahlambuluka kanjani wena ufisa ukubi komunye umuntu? It was the thing that we are teaching our people. We would say, you need to first understand yourself in order to accommodate the next person.
Mm-hmm.
So for the organization, we are proud. We have created a safe space that even the organization in albinism. Organization for South Africa, in about albinism in South Africa. It is, I remember that we catch Umam Commissioner or. Umazibuko.
Yeah, so just, you know, out of curiosity, right? Masen Fonelwa, what do you guys do? Nimenza ni mise mapoise ni or ni kalagi ni je ni kipitas. What do you guys do?
Okay, see na into SNZ le sine bilateral ne ministry mapoise. Echo uguti o manga be gutwa umelaki uthumbile noma urwengulile noma u utholakala neziqu zabantu asixoxi naye akathathwa amukusekhulukuthu kulapho la dilabhilonga khona. And then thina will then ngena endumbeni yakhe senze sho kokuthi la ma-samples lawa ayatholakala, because siyazi nokuthi bayafihla kupha ngithi.
Oh, out of curiosity, like can I ask this question? Right. Mani ndi niyazi ukuthi afihlwa kuphi, afihlwa kuphi kahle kahle?
No,
I was trying my luck. Eh?
Yeah, well tried. Abraham, because of time, unfortunately, I think it has been so insightful. And there's a lot of things that you mentioned that I hope and I really wish that the larger part and our society of South Africa could understand in depth, because that's exactly what we're trying to do. Trying to bust these myths and live in a carefree world, a world that is much friendlier and, you know, without these false information at all. I think you have been such a guiding light, and this conversation has been fruitful. Thank you so much for joining us. And I think maybe let me open the platform to say that should anyone have a question and they haven't had the time to throw their question in right now during this show, where can they get a hold of you?
Mabangene ku THO face page, it's called Traditional Healers Organization. And then I drop the message wakhe lapho sizomphendula. Or ku Twitter, it's at THO_health. Or anga pala nje ku email abhale ukuthi okay email yethu it's thohealth@gmail.com or no afonele kuma number sethu it's 011-337-6177.
Abraham, thank you so much once again. It's 9 minutes to the top of the hour. What a conversation, Xolani.
I mean, listening to him, I got goosebumps.
Xolani, listening to him for me made me feel like now I know. I am well informed. I know the history of where it comes from.
Mm.
I know why these myths came about.
The myths of vanishing.
Yeah.
Because now for me, it, like, it makes sense.
Like, we busted this one. What?
So we successfully busted the myth.
Yes, we did. Xolani, thank you so much. We'll see you again next week to bust yet another myth.